Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon, so please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair or on the sofa. Those are also just as spiritual as sitting on the floor. And as you get settled, I want to continue the conversation on the Four Noble Truths, the fourth of which is called the Noble Eightfold Path. And today we're going to talk about the second step on the Eightfold Path, which is called Right Intention. And you can jump in right here. If you missed the previous videos, you're welcome to go back and look at them, but you don't have to. So just to recap a tiny bit, the Four Noble Truths are the very first teachings given by the Buddha when he attained enlightenment. He was like, I just woke up, y'all. I saw what's real. And y'all said, oh, do tell. And the Buddha said, I saw that life is suffering. He did not say, I saw that life sucks. He said, I saw that we don't really get it. We don't get that everything changes and there's nothing to hold on to. And therefore we suffer. So life is very unsatisfying on some very vast level. Even if you have all the great things in the world, there's still a kind of pervasive sense of unease. That's what he said. Second noble truth is called the cause of suffering, which means something like pretending the first noble truth isn't true and that you can create something solid and unchanging and fixed that will protect you from pain. The third noble truth is called the cessation of suffering, which means stop doing the second noble truth, and you will then stop doing the first noble truth. In other words, stop grasping, and you will stop suffering. The natural question at that point, for me anyway, is how do you do that? How do you stop grasping? How do you stop wanting? How do you stop being attached, quote unquote? Well, you can want all you want. You can be attached, in my opinion. What are you going to not be attached to your children or your, you know, home or your body? Well, of course we are. But we can work with those things according to the Noble Eightfold Path, which answers the question, how do you do that? How do you stop grasping in this very large sense so that you can stop suffering? And the first step on the Noble Eightfold Path is called right view, which means just see things clearly, which, you know, first noble truth. You can't, there's nothing to hold on to. It's very hard to see that, or at least speaking for myself, I see it in moments because people die. I'm aging. Maybe I'm aged. Everything I have sort of disintegrates. Everything I am disintegrates. Oh, okay. I don't want that on one level. That is wrong view. It's not wrong view to not want that. It's wrong view to pretend that you have a choice. This is tough. This is tough, y'all. I totally know that. However, don't take my word for that or anything. I really mean that. You check your own experience, your own life, your own world. What can you hold on to? And it doesn't help to go nothing because some Buddhist lady said nothing. What helps is to actually examine. You examine. Then let's say you find that there is nothing to hold on to. And that is the first step, right view. So imagine what your life would be like if you held that view and you went into the good, the bad, the ugly of your life with the realization that it was constantly shifting. Some things shift in a good direction, some things shift in a bad direction. There's no question about that. But it all continues to shift. What would your intentions be? second step on the Eightfold Path. And right intention, right view, by the way, comprise the wisdom aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path. What we're going to get into in subsequent videos are the ethical steps, right speech, right livelihood, right action, and so on. So they're in categories. We're still in the category of wisdom. Right here doesn't mean the opposite of wrong or good, even. It means complete. The right intention takes everything into account that is true. So one way to begin to consider what is right intention, which is connected to right view, is not about being a goody-goody or intending to get the things you want, which I hope you will get the things you want. But the right intention, as far as I can tell, is rooted in doing my life for the benefit of not just Susan Piper, although, you know, I wish her well, but including others in the decisions I make, the words I speak, the path that I'm on, all the things I choose to do in my speech, in my work, in my life. If I can stop for a moment and go, well, what would actually benefit others? Not to my own detriment. That's very important. There's a lot, I think, of misunderstanding in spiritual circles about compassion and thinking of others and being kind, that it means something like you come first, you, everybody else. And not only do I come second, but I don't count. I don't count is not part of right intention, and it is not part of what it means to be really compassionate. So you definitely count. So when you think about what will benefit me because I count, I could extend that to think, well, what would also benefit my family, my community, strangers, the world? When you add in that piece, not me alone, interesting things happen. First, it's weirdly relaxing. When you think only of yourself, which I do, I just did like 100 times in the last second, it becomes very tight. Well, this could hurt me, or I need that. This is the thing I've been waiting for. And I don't want the things that will hurt me, and I do want the things that I long for, and I hope that you will get the things you long for as well. But when that's my sole focus, the world becomes very, very small and unnuanced. I don't know if that's a word. And scary in a particular way. Like, uh-oh, every minute is kind of like, uh-oh. But when I think, well, let me expand to include others, there's something very, first of all, just graceful and elegant about that. But also, when I'm only thinking of me, I feel very threatened and disempowered. But when I think, what can I do that would help me, but that could also benefit others, I feel re-empowered. I feel more powerful. I feel more relaxed. I feel like everything's not riding on this for Susie Piper. To take the seat of right intention is to also take the seat of power. And I don't know about you, but I and many people I know go about our lives feeling disempowered. And here's a way to change that. Think of others. Right intention naturally arises from right view. So that remains the place to start. And I hope this is useful. I'm trying to think, is there anything else I should say about right intention? Because interestingly, at least on one level, it's very ordinary. Think of others. not to the exclusion of yourself. Don't do that. But along with yourself, think what would benefit all beings and see what happens. And report back to me, because I would love to hear about your experiments on the Noble Eightfold Path. And for now, let's practice meditation. Oh, there's a picture of my cat. Very cute cat. Now, meditation isn't just, by the way, that's a stress reduction thing. Although, you know, many studies have shown that it is. Thank you, science. It's very profoundly related to the Noble Eightfold Path and seeing things clearly. Because when we sit in meditation, and if this is your first time, this will all make sense in a moment, we don't stop focusing on ourselves. The whole practice is being yourself. But as things arise within ourself, thoughts and feelings and so on, we see them, we let go, and we come back. More things to see and let go and come back. So riding those waves of inner experience gives us the ability to create a space between what we think and what we feel and what we say and do. And in that space are the seeds of right intention. So when I have some sense of holding my experience lightly, my chance of deploying right intention is vastly improved. So that's it. In meditation practice, there are three things to be mindful of. And the first is your body. Here we are. Sometimes I think in meditation, there can be a sense of I'm going to transcend this body and this mortal coil and so on. And maybe, but not in this practice. In this practice, we're not trying to get anywhere. We're trying to be somewhere. As my friend Michael Carroll says, we're trying to be right here. And right here is being in our body, because I think that's obvious. So feel yourself rooted from the waist down. Like you're planted, you're here. You can feel heavy in your lower half, and light and responsive from the waist up. The hands rest on the legs, palms down, not trying to do anything. Just resting. Sit up straight. You're straight. People have back and neck things. Don't hurt yourself, obviously, but draw yourself up in a way that feels dignified. And let the front body be very soft. The belly can soften. The area around the heart, the throat, three gates, intuition, emotion, speech, relax. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. Breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. But otherwise, just breathing exactly as you were before I said breathing. Just, you know how to do that. So keep doing that. And in this practice, the eyes are open. And the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And let the eyes be soft and receptive. And let the brow relax. Mindfulness of body. Second is mindfulness of breath. which simply means feel your body breathing. Allow your attention to rest on the wave of breath, feeling the inhale and dissolving out on the exhale, breathing in and mixing your mind, your breath, with the space in front on the exhale. So we're feeling the breath, we're not noticing the breath. And this is mindfulness of breath. Third is mindfulness of mind, which means just let your mind be as it is. We're not trying to wrangle it or fix it or change it. Just whatever's going on up there, gonna keep going on. No problem. Let your mind be as it is. Hello, little cat. Well, your primary attention is on your breath, or in my case, your cat. Thoughts come and go. If you find that you become absorbed in a line of thought, meaning you have lost all track of your breath, you spaced out, no problem. No problem. Just notice that. You can label that moment silently thinking. And then let go. This is one of the key gestures in meditation, let go. Gently come back. And begin again, feeling the body breathe. So mindfulness of body, mindfulness of breath, mindfulness of mind. This is our practice, so we'll sit together in silence for a few minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me and my cat. Thank you for practicing together. May your practice benefit all beings. Good practice too. You seem very good practitioner.